Next case for argument is 21-1782, Sunbakken v. McDonoghue. Mr. Carpenter, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Dale Sunbakken. This appeal asks this Court to determine what the legal test is for determining whether or not a claim previously made for a exposure to herbicide is the same claim as a covered disease that is later awarded under the provisions of VA Regulation 38 CFR 3.816C1. Mr. Sunbakken's March 1998 claim was for peripheral neuropathy of the lower extremities as the result of herbicide exposure. This should have been, under the correct legal test, considered to have been...
Mr. Carpenter, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
C1, I believe. Don't you mean C2?
I'm sorry.
We're talking about the regulation.
Yes, I'm sorry, Your Honor. You're correct.
I mean, that was unfortunately a slip in your brief as well, which led to a little confusion. But this is, in your view, a straightforward name error claim under the regulation, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And your view is that the Veterans Court, in deciding whether or not the PN, the peripheral neuropathy for which your client had a 1998 claim denied, whether that is basically the same as the Parkinson's under the regulation. And as I understand it, the court used what you view to be a totality of the evidence test.
Yes.
To measure the comparison of the two diseases. And you think that's wrong. You think a narrower test should be used.
I think the test...
I don't know, other than what you explained in your brief, I'm not sure that you've given us exactly the test you said. You suggested that where the two diseases fall in the same general category of diseases, both neurological here, and because they share some common symptoms, that should be the test.
That the manifestations that are presented by the respective claims are the same or similar as the claim that was ultimately granted.
Manifestations, or what are you talking about?
The symptoms, John.
Symptoms?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So if the symptoms of the two diseases were the same, then that would satisfy the test under the regulation for reasonable similarity, right, in your view?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mere symptoms. So isn't that too broad? Headache a symptom both of MS and of brain cancer? I think the answer is yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so a claim made earlier for multiple sclerosis and a later claim for brain cancer would be treated as the same?
Well, Your Honor, we're dealing with a specific class of diseases that are identified by...
Well, that's what I'm trying to get you to do, Mr. Carpenter, so the other side has a target to talk to.
Yes.
So give me in language the specific test you believe should be used to make the comparison that the regulation requires.
Well, Your Honor, I believe it's set out in the regulation.
You said that in your brief. You said reasonably may be construed to be the same as the test. But that's a conclusion. That's not the test. That's the question which you're trying to answer. And the government admits in its brief, I give you the page, where they say, neither NMR nor the regulation answers this question of what test is supposed to be used. So we do have a question of first impression in front of us. What's the test you use?
Well, that the claimant's application and the other supporting documents that he or she submits can be reasonably viewed. That's the language that is used in the regulation.
When you then say the application and all the stuff that's in the record, that's a kind of an all things considered test. That's the same kind of test that's used, for example, to decide whether one has made an informal claim, right?
No, Your Honor. It's directed to what is specifically in the record that is in the form of supporting statements. For example, Your Honor, at Appendix 87 in the rating decision itself that was made in 1998, the VA noted that this claim included manifestations of peripheral neuropathy, including tingling, numbness, hot spots of the lower extremities, thigh, stomach, and abdomen weakness, and trembling and shaking. That is a consistent list of the same.
Counsel, we don't have page 87 in the appendix. You didn't include it. So I'm not sure what you're reading from. Are you sure it's on page 87? Because we don't have an appendix page 87.
Sorry, Your Honor, that was the note that I made. I'll double check in between the arguments and confirm the page number. I apologize, Your Honor.
Mr. Carpenter, this is Judge Crowe. Can you
yes,
hear me?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm still a little puzzled about where the debate is really joined here. There's no dispute, right, what the regulation says. It says it sets out a standard that reasonably may be construed as the same covered. What is your argument that the VA, the BVA, and the RO paid lip service to using that standard, but didn't they applied some other standard? And if so, what was that standard, that they unreasonably may construe it? I'm just not sure where the argument is joined here.
Well, where the argument is joined is that the Veterans Court decision at Appendix 1 said that the board determination, the first claim was not made for Parkinson's disease, indicating that there had to be a specific claim made for a specific disease in order to qualify as applied to the NEMR class members. That's inconsistent with the intent of the class action settlement, and it's inconsistent with the plain language of the Secretary's own regulation. There is no specific requirement that this be the first claim for Parkinson's, that it must be a claim.
But you're eliding away from the issue that you meant is the main issue, which is the standard to be applied.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I was trying to respond to Judge Crowe's question. I don't believe that.
Well, you were moving away from the standard, how you go about deciding if it's true. Because you're saying, well, the board just made a terrible mistake here in the first place. It never even put a NEMR claim in play, is what you're saying.
No, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that the standard relied upon by the Veterans Court in this case was that this has to be viewed as the first claim for Parkinson's disease without consideration for what in fact was the first claim for peripheral neuropathy.
And where in the CAVC decision do they say that?
At Appendix 1, Your Honor.
I'm looking at Appendix 1.
Because the veteran's first claim for Parkinson's disease was not submitted until May
12th. I'm looking at page 1. Where on page Appendix 1?
Sorry, Your Honor, I don't have the appendix in front of me.
So you're saying based on this statement, the board wasn't applying a reasonably may construed standard. It was requiring its first claim had to be absolutely beginning to end for Parkinson's disease explicitly? Is that what you're basing?
Not the board, Your Honor, but the Veterans Court decision. The Veterans Court decision relied upon the fact that the only thing that was determined in the record to have been presented was a first claim for Parkinson's in 2014, without regard to the claim that was made in 1998 for peripheral neuropathy.
But they went on. I mean, the board goes on for 4 or 5 pages, and don't they analyze the claim under the what I think you think is the correct standard, which whether that claim could be reasonably construed as the same disease as Parkinson's? Don't they? Isn't that what the ensuing 3 pages discuss?
Of the board's decision, Your Honor, or the court's decision?
The court. I thought you were taking us to the court's decision.
Yeah, yes, the court's decision. Okay, I just want to make sure. I thought you said the board's decision.
I'm sorry. I apologize if I did.
Well, no, yeah, I may have misheard. But Your Honor, in doing so, I believe that they stick to a standard which is too high that it has to do with the first claim that is filed, in which case, or excuse me, in which they relied upon as being the May 2014 claim.
Okay, so you've come back to the standard issue, and you said that the standard that was wrong. And I ask you again, what is merit, are symptoms, common symptoms enough to satisfy the regulatory test of sameness? You really have to, Mr. Carpenter, it's very important because the test that the government is arguing here, that the CAVC in its totality seems to have been weighing the totality of the evidence, is pretty clear. We understand what that means in a VA context. And what I'm trying to get from you is what you want instead. And so it has to be as clear and as workable as is the government standard.
I believe that standard is that it has to be related. There has to be an examination, a comparison between the prior claim, in this case, place in 1998, with the later claim in 2014, to determine whether both claims were predicated upon exposure to herbicide.
Almost exactly what you're talking about. On appendix page 3 to page 4, the Veterans Court notes that the board went through the specific symptoms that were alleged in the 1998 neuropathy claim, namely the shaking and trembling and the bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. And they go through and say that those are not the same symptoms that later justify an award for Parkinson's disease. They actually say that basically none of the symptoms were later attributed to the Parkinson's disease, that the Parkinson's symptoms, which were different, tremors and other things, are different from the neuropathy symptoms. And so they found, looking very much at the symptoms, that these two things were not the same. So you wouldn't reasonably construe the neuropathy claim with the symptoms that were articulated at that time as being Parkinson's. So they did a very fact-based, intensive, symptom-based analysis on pages 3 and 4. The Veterans Court acknowledges the board did that in a positive way. So what is it about that process that you think is wrong?
Because they elevated the standard too high by looking
standard.
For...
What standard?
The reasonably construed standard. The reasonably construed standard that it is the same claim, or excuse me, that it is the same disease as was referred to in both claims. The claims that were made in 1998 were based upon exposure to herbicide. The claims made in 2014 were based upon exposure to herbicide.
I don't understand how that is. So if they file two claims that are both based on exposure to herbicide, they get the earlier effective date? What if the claims are completely unrelated?
If the standard must be consistent with the claimant's application and the other supporting statements when reasonably viewed under the standard of an ordinary governing standard.
The board in this case and the Veterans Court found the earlier effective date was not warranted because the conditions and symptoms encompassed by peripheral neuropathy claim were unrelated to Parkinson's disease.
That's
exactly the test.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, relatedness is not in the test and should not be in the test.
No, when the only symptoms alleged in the 1998 claim are not symptoms that would reasonably be construed as Parkinson's, that's it. And that's what the board said and the Veterans Court said.
With respect, Your Honor, the statement made in the 1998 rating decision identified a series of symptoms that are identical to the symptoms that are present in Parkinson's disease.
Yes, but that would be a fact finding, Mr. Carpenter, and we don't get to do that. And so what you're saying now is not consistent with either what the board held or found or what the Veterans Court affirmed and articulated. So you're trying to get me to look behind both of those decisions at the underlying facts upon which it's predicated, and I don't get to do that.
I apologize, Your Honor. I did not intend that.
All right. Well,
I see that I've
time. Yes, let's give Mr. Wisser a chance, and we'll restore some of your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'd like to start with what I think is obvious, but just to go from this starting point. The record demonstrates that Mr. Kuzenbakken did not have Parkinson's disease in 1998. That's what VA concluded, the board concluded based on a complete review of medical evidence, and that the Veterans Court affirmed on a clear error review. And as I believe the court just determined or explained in colloquy with Mr. Carpenter, that factual finding is not subject for review at this court.
Counsel, is that the test? I mean, I feel like you're starting in a bad place for me. You just said they found he did not have Parkinson's in 1998. That's not the test. The test isn't whether he did or didn't have Parkinson's. The test is whether he alleged something that could be reasonably construed as being Parkinson's, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. But I want to make clear, because we are very, very, very far away from any circumstance where these regulations would do any work here. And that's the point I'm trying to make by pointing out that he did not have Parkinson's in 1998. And so really what his claim is here is that somehow the NEMR regulations require VA to give him an effective date of 1998 for a disease he did not have at that time. And that's an extremely overbroad and nonsensical.
That's exactly what the regulations do.
Well, no, Your Honor, what the regulations
reasonably construed as, not it was going to be equal to.
Well, Your Honor,
I mean, the whole thing, what's missing here is understanding what NEMR is really doing. And it's dealing with a situation where a veteran files an Agent Orange claim at a particular historic point in the past and gets denied, which is what happened here. And then later on, the VA recognizes and puts something on the schedule and says, this thing has been caused by Agent Orange. And so what they did here was in 2010, they brought Parkinson's disease onto the presumptive list, right?
Yes, sir.
The veteran who had a claim denied earlier was entitled to go back and say, hey, if you view the totality of the circumstances, you'll understand that what I really had back in my old claim was should be reasonably construed to be the same as, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Right.
But it were
asking if you look at C2(1), that's really what you all been talking about, which is whether he raised an informal claim actually for Parkinson's way back when.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And under C1, you would agree with me, that's an alternative way under Niemeyer to get your job done. You can actually go in and show, excuse me, I actually had Parkinson's back then. That's C1, little I, I mean. And we're little too high, right?
Well, no, Your Honor, and that is a point I want to clarify, because Mr. Carpenter was sort of floating back and forth in his briefing and his argument. The applicable regulation is C2(i). That is the regulation that governs here. That's the regulation that both.
Why is that so? Look at little two, right? The VA issued a decision on a claim in this time frame, which it did on the PN, right?
It did issue a decision on the PN, Your Honor, yes.
In C2, right? And then they denied compensation for a disease that reasonably construed as the same one for which compensation been awarded. That's the PD.
Well, Your Honor, if I could point
right,
you to...
Right, right. He's been awarded compensation for PD.
Yes, Your Honor, yes.
Right. So if you just read it, he fits exactly into little two.
Well, Your Honor, if I could point you to the...
Why are you going to agree with me, aren't you?
I do know, because...
The facts of this case fit in little two.
Little two is not what I'm sorry, the facts of this case are not what Little 2 is designed to cover. And that's explained in the accompanying Federal Register notice that we cited to in our brief. What Little 2 is designed to cover is a very rare situation where VA goes out of its way to deny a claim that was not presented. And that was a particular...
Deny a claim that was not...
Yes, Your Honor, to deny a claim that was not presented. That was a particular practice of the VA around the time of the Niemer settlement in the late 80s and early 90s, where if they were presented with a claim and they would review all of the veterans' medical records, some regional offices and some portions of VA would look at the medical records, look at all the conditions.
Okay, well, let me ask this question. I found the briefing on that to be woefully inadequate to explain to me exactly what this regulation was all about. I went back to Niemer and read it, you know, right straightforward and read the regs. And this reg is impenetrably complex to figure it out. But why does it make any difference? The standard is the same in both 1 and 2.
Your Honor, we did point that out in our brief, that we don't believe there's any meaningful difference in the standards, but I did want to make that clarification that our position...
But isn't the question on the appeal the standard, whether you're in 1 or 2?
Your Honor, we do not believe that the standard would be substantially different between 1 and 2. What 1 is looking at is what was the claim that was filed and examining the intent of the claimant, and 2 is examining what...
And you're arguing for a totality of the record type of test. Similar would be when you're doing a construction for whether an informal claim had been filed. The standard claim analysis that is pro-veteran driven to require consideration of everything that's in the record.
That is correct, Your Honor. And that's actually written in little I, the first subsection there, that VA should apply the same standards that are ordinarily applied.
And so that's the view. That is what you believe that was done both by the board and by the Veterans Court, and that we should affirm on that basis.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And I understand Mr. Carpenter to be arguing for a different test that is actually less veteran-friendly because it would not consider everything in the record, but it's limited to a subset of information in the record.
That is what we understand Mr. Sundbakken to be advocating for, and for the exact point you mentioned, Your Honor, it doesn't seem to make sense to determine what evidence should be excluded or why certain evidence should not be
excluded. Now, do you understand what evidence Mr. Sundbakken believes should be the test and limited to that information?
We do not. We do not understand which evidence should or should not be considered under the test he's advocating for.
Other than that it's symptom-driven.
That is correct, Your Honor. And I will note that he did cite to the D'Alesio decision by the Veterans Court, which had some discussion as to when two conditions that might have the same symptoms could be construed as the same condition. What we noted in our brief was that that decision was talking about conditions that are derivative of each other. So in the D'Alesio case, Mr. D'Alesio had diabetes and then subsequently developed peripheral neuropathy as an extension of his diabetes. And so the Veterans Court said those are clearly related because one disease is a progression of the other. And so
I understood you to read D'Alesio as consistent with your view of a totality of the record type analysis.
Yes, Your Honor. And the point we would make is that if what he's advocating for is that sort of connection is necessary, that there is some underlying pathological relationship between two conditions that is demonstrated through a complete review of the evidence, we would agree with that completely and would not fight against that. What we have here, though, is...
Your argument is that type of connection doesn't exist between PN and PD.
That's correct, Your Honor. And if you review the board's discussion in particular, Appendix 17 through Appendix 19, it goes through the symptoms and the condition that Mr. Sundbakken presented back in 1998, the conclusive diagnosis of peripheral neuropathy. It notes that peripheral neuropathy is a condition that affects the extremities, the nerve endings, whereas Parkinson is a condition that affects brain tissue, and that the symptoms that he developed in 2012 that led to his Parkinson's diagnosis were distinct from the symptoms that led to his diagnosis in 1998 of peripheral neuropathy. And also they note that the Parkinson's diagnosis from 2012 was specifically noted to be early stage Parkinson's, which was yet further evidence that it had not been manifesting for 15 years in some fashion because it was determined to be at a very early stage of development. So we believe that the board did conclusively determine that his peripheral neuropathy and his Parkinson's were two distinct conditions two distinct sets of symptoms within Mr. Sundbakken. We acknowledge that the diagnostic symptoms could be similar in certain patients, but they were not in this case. And that was a factual finding made by VA and the board. The only other point that I'd like to make is just to clean up one point of confusion that may have come across from our response brief that Mr. Sundbakken addressed in his reply, which is whether or not the Veterans Court conducted fact-finding. And upon review, I do agree that the language that we used in our response brief may have been unclear on that point. I apologize for that, but I do believe it's clear from the record that the Veterans Court was applying a clearly erroneous standard. They're reviewing the factual findings the board conducted. And so there was no question that the Veterans Court applied that standard correctly, that they were not weighing the evidence independently for themselves. And so I apologize for that confusion in our briefing, but I believe that the record speaks for itself on that point. And if the court has no other questions, then I believe I've addressed the points that we wanted to make.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Carpenter, we'll restore 2 minutes of your rebuttal time.
Your Honor, if the court please, at Appendix 116 is the 1998 rating decision. I apologize, it was at page 87 of the joint appendix, but the appendix number is 116, where the note is that refers to specifically the trembling that is the overlapping symptom that we believe constitutes the reasonable basis to view them as being the claim for the same condition.
Where are we in 116, Mr. Carpenter?
There is a bolded note just above the number two in which it describes the this claim also includes. Okay. And the ultimate assignment of service connection for Mr. Sundbakken's residuals deals with the extremity tremors that are associated with Parkinson's. And that's, in our view, Your Honor, where the Veterans Court decision in Delisio comes into play, in which the ultimate relationship between a symptom of the condition, which is noted in an earlier claim, should be considered when applying the effective date regulation to determine whether or not the VA states with tremendous confidence what the state was of
as the Chief just pointed out, the board did assess both of the 1998 condition and of the subsequent Parkinson's condition.
Yes, Your Honor, and our problem is that they compared them as conditions rather than...
Right, but she also, I believe the Chief Judge also pointed out that if your concern is that while the board did the right thing by looking at the two symptoms, they messed up and made a mistake. And if that's the gravamen of your case, that's a fact question that lies outside of our reach. I'm trying to track as closely as I can and precisely as I can where you are, because this case needs a clear decision on what the standard should be.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I apologize for not being able to articulate it as clearly as I should have been able to articulate it.
Well, in all fairness to you, Mr. Carpenter, you're the leader of the bar here, and you know how important this issue is. And as in the past, the court looks to you for guidance with your experience for specificity to help us carve and adopt or establish correct standards that will benefit our veterans. And typically, Mr. Carpenter, you're in front of us arguing that the agency has ignored relevant pieces of our record. In ignoring those relevant pieces of the record, they have disfavored the veterans. you've encouraged us to look at all things considered in a record. But in this case, you're shifting, you're saying, no, don't look at everything in the record, just look at little bits of it. And so I'm having trouble understanding where you're coming from.
Well, I apologize for that, Your Honor, and that probably it was, in fact, on me and my shortcoming. It is the view of Mr. Sunbacher that the regulation speaks to a very precise standard that is lower than the standards of that were used by the Veterans Court and the board to determine, as the government said in its presentation, whether or not he did or didn't have Parkinson's. And that should not be the test. The test should be a comparison of symptoms that are potentially related to...
Okay, but I mean, we went through all that before. And the Chief Judge pointed out, yes, we see that on A1, but on A3 and 4, you see an analysis under the regulation, yada, yada, yada. So assume that you lose on that point, on the point you just made. We come back to the standard issue, do we not?
Yes, you do, sir.
Okay. And I'm still waiting.
And I am obviously not able to articulate it in a way that is helpful to the court, and to that extent, I apologize.
Okay. Is there anything further?
No, I was just going to say I'm out of time, though.
Okay. Thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.
Thank you.
The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.